Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 27. Our scripture text will come from verses 13 and 14. You know, David is one of my favorite writers in the Bible. He is a guy that certainly wore his emotions on his sleeve. One day he was on top of the world, and the next day it seemed like the world was on top of him. Well, I think we like David because most of us can relate to those very circumstances. I hope that you enjoy today's encouraging message entitled, Simple Strength.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
We'll read just the last two verses as our text, verse 13. I had fainted. I would have quit. Couldn't have made it unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We have this misconception that the prophets and the patriarchs in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament were some sort of supermen. That they were on a completely different spiritual level than what is available to us. That when they walked, their feet never touched on the ground. That there was this faint golden aura or halo encircling their heads. But that is not so. Very unique and telling characteristic about the Bible when compared to other books is that it doesn't hide men's flaws. When you read other religious books or other historical books, they have a tendency of painting the central figures as being without flaws, but not so in the Bible. We see these great men and women as they were, warts, weakness, and all. It's comforting to me to realize that these great men of the Bible were just that. They were simply men. They were sinful men just like we are. They had the same fears that we have. They had the same temptations that we have. They had the same struggles that we have. They have the same questions that we sometimes have. These men all faced crises just like we do, and in some cases, even more so. In our text this morning, we find David in just such a crisis. Which one, we don't know for sure. Could have been any of them. But probably, as you read this text, this had been the time where he was forced to leave Jerusalem as his own son Absalom had conspired to overthrow him and was now dead set on killing his own father. This is a simple message that I hope we all get. To set the stage, I want to read through this chapter. And as I do, I ask that you'd pay very special attention as we see David, I believe, having a conversation with himself. You know, we so often can put on a front that fools other people. And many times we can put on a tough face in the crowd, but internally, we wrestle with certain things. I think we can benefit from that very same experience that David is dealing with here as he is battling internally to encourage himself in what he knows to be true versus his emotions, his feelings, and fears. Read with me on the screens, if you would, in verse 1. The Lord is my light. Hear David. Feel David's heart. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who's David talking to right here? David's talking to himself. He's preaching a message to himself, reminding himself of what he knows to be true, that God is his Savior, that God is his only hope, that God alone is in whom he trusted. Why should he have any fears? Verse 2, when the wicked Even mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell, past tense, when the foes came against me. His foes were like a pack of animals coming to devour him, he says. They stumbled, past tense. They fell, past tense. David was encouraging himself. He was taking comfort, reminding himself of God's faithfulness in times past. Perhaps David was recalling the time that he stepped out in the valley of Elah to face Goliath with only God and a slingshot. Perhaps David was recalling the false accusations of treasons that had been leveled against him by King Saul and the months and years of hiding in the wilderness, hiding from his superiors, yet God delivered him. David, seeking to encourage himself in the Lord, remembered the times before when God had seen him through against all odds. And remembering that, David knew that regardless of what his eyes saw, he could trust in God. Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Notice the confidence. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I know this to be a fact. David knows this is true. And David is reaffirming in whom he is trusting. Verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of His temple. David loved God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. David set about in his early days as king to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. David desired to build the temple, which God didn't allow him to do, but allowed his son to do. But David's desire was to be as close to the Lord as he possibly could. It says here in verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. It was customary in the Middle East. If you were a guest at somebody's house, it was their responsibility to make sure and protect you. You remember when the angels visited Sodom and they were at Lot's house and the gang of homosexuals came after them. Lot stood at the door, stood between them and his guests, and Lot was attempting to the best he could to protect his guests. David was saying here, hide me in your pavilion. Oh God, you are my protector. It's your responsibility to take care of me. In the secret of his tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Notice the confidence that he knows in his mind. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies, verse 6, that are round about me. Therefore I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Confident expectation. Every statement reaffirming David's thirst for the Lord. Every statement reaffirming David's desire for intimate fellowship with the Lord. Every statement reaffirming his total dependence on the Lord for rescue, and also expressing his confidence that God would, in fact, deliver him. But now notice the change in tenor with David. From confidence to pleading, from the faith of a spiritual warrior to that of a little child crying out to be rescued from danger. Listen to his heart again as now he goes into verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me. Answer me. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Lord, I'm doing all that I know to do. I'm serving you the best that I know how. I'm doing what you've called me to do. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Seemingly a moment of doubt. But then he seemingly regathers himself for a moment as he considers what he's just said. And he makes a confident statement again. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Folks, this is a figure of speech. David was reaffirming what he knew to be true. His parents, David's parents, had never forsaken him. But what David was saying here is, God, is even my parents, if the whole world turned against me, if even my parents had turned against me, I know that you won't. Then he immediately retreats from the strength of his mind to the tenderness of his heart and cries out in verse 11, teach me thy way, or show me the way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of mine enemies. Don't deliver me over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses they are that are risen up against me. such as breathe out cruelty. Can you hear David's heart? David knew who his God was. He knew that God would take care of him. He'd seen it in past experience. David knew that God would not forsake him. But then he cried out again for mercy and cried out again for rescue and cried out again for God to show him the way. Was he simply applying God's instruction to us to pray? Possibly. But personally, I believe we see both the great faith of David and we also see the humanity of David. Ladies and gentlemen, sermons are sometimes easier to preach than they are to apply. We know that the Bible says that we're to walk by faith, but not by sight. But as human beings, we have such a tendency to want to walk by sight. The Bible says that we can cast all our cares upon Jesus, yet we still have this tendency of holding on to so many of our worries and concerns. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing, but still we insist on worrying. The Bible promises that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, but then sometimes we think that He's not aware of what's going on in our lives. I believe that that's what we see with David. The battle between what he knew to be true by his great faith in God and his flesh and the weakness of it, perhaps brought on by fatigue or emotions. I want to note three things in this short message today. One pertains to the facts of his testimony. Two pertains to David's response. And then three, ultimately, the result. First, the facts. David saw nothing good. His crises were not imagined, contrived, or exaggerated. They were legitimate. Verse 2 says that he saw, what did he see with his eyes? He saw the wicked. He saw even mine enemies and my foes that were come up to eat my flesh. He saw, verse 3, an host encamped against me. Lord, what good can possibly come of this? Lord, why is this happening? Lord, where there's seemingly no way out. Consider some of the crises that David faced in his life. There was a time when he was a young teenage boy, responsible enough to be out caring for his sheep, his father's sheep, when a lion came up to attack. Folks, I see no good in that. A lion might be some 3 feet tall at his shoulder and weigh some 500 pounds with sharp teeth and razor-sharp claws and cat-like quickness. I don't care if David did have a slingshot. By sight, his prospects of survival were minimal. In this crisis, he could see no good. There was another time while he was watching his father's sheep as a teenage boy, that the scriptures say that he squared off against a bear. Now, bear can be some 9 feet tall when he's on his hind legs, or even taller, can weigh some 800 to 1500 pounds. And there's David, a young teenage boy, perhaps 14 or 15, with a stick guarding his sheep. By sight, nothing good can come of this. Unless that stick had a stock on one end, a barrel on the other, and a trigger to pull, I don't like David's chances in this situation. By sight, David could see no good. There was a time that David faced off in the Valley of Elah against the giant Goliath. A 9.5 foot tall. Folks, think about these things. You know, we talk and use such terms as facing the giants. We talk about crises. I got to tell you, none of us have faced some crises like what he's gone through. We may have a bad day at the office. That's not like running into a bear on your way home from work. David was facing a literal giant. 9.5 feet tall. Somewhere between 700 and 1,000 pounds. A veteran man of war. What chance would a young shepherd boy have against such a man? By sight, David could see no good. If we're walking by sight and not by faith, we would say that this situation is hopeless. Amen. Consider the time or the crisis when David was chased by Saul, his own king, the king whom he loved and looked at like a father and admired had accused him of treason and was trying to kill him. The army that he'd served with in many battles before, now his own fellow soldiers hunted him down like a common criminal, being accused of treason. His own nation considered him as such. By sight, David looked around and could see no good could come of this. Then late in his life, when his beloved son Absalom, think about this, dads, his firstborn, one of whom I'm sure that he held in his arms as a newborn baby and with pride and love gazed into that infant's face. Now, this baby was a grown man and had taken up arms and gathered a following to kill his own father, to overthrow his own daddy. David, in his heartbreak, could see nothing good. Walking by sight, he saw the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come up to eat my flesh. Walking by sight, he saw an host encamped against me. He saw with his eyes challenges. He saw with his eyes tears, death, sorrow, betrayal, battles, enemies, heartbreak, and disappointment. He saw no answer. He saw no good. Walking by sight, he could have easily lost hope. And just like us, the flesh is weak at times. But he never lost hope. Scripture says, verse 13, that he never gave up. Why? Point number two, let's look at David's response. Even though he could not see the goodness of God at that moment, David still believed in the goodness of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how many times in my life that I have been, had no place to go but simply on my face on the floor with my Bible open, hugging the Bible and re-quoting to myself Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Quoting to myself Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. How many times I've cried out, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many times I've cried out, for Lord, Your thoughts are not my thoughts, Your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are above the earth, so are Your thoughts above my thoughts and Your ways above my ways. Folks, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. Proverbs 3:5 is still in the Bible. Isaiah 55:8 is still in the Bible. Verse 13 doesn't say, I was encouraged when I saw the goodness of God. David said, I was encouraged because I believed that I would see the goodness of God. He cried out, verse 13 and 14, God, I couldn't have made it through. I would have fainted. I would have lost all hope. I would have drowned in my despair, except that I know that the goodness of God is there. I trust in You. Ladies and gentlemen, when facing insurmountable odds, David didn't lose heart. When facing persecution by his own people and his own king, David didn't lose heart. When facing betrayal by his own son, David didn't lose heart. He didn't faint because even though he couldn't see it in the times of darkness, he believed in the goodness of God. And just because you can't see a way out does not mean that there is no way out. Just because you can't see the goodness of God at this particular moment doesn't mean that the goodness of God doesn't exist. The goodness of God wasn't visible to Abraham as God told him to go to Mount Moriah and offer Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. But we know that the goodness of God was there. The goodness of God wasn't visible to Joseph as he was being beaten up by his brothers and cast into a pit and then sold into slavery and then sold to Potiphar and then thrown in prison for false accusations and then forgotten about in prison. But we know that the goodness of God was there. The goodness of God wasn't visible to Daniel as he was being led away to the lion's den simply for being faithful and praying to his God. But we know that the goodness of God was there. The goodness of God wasn't visible to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were being carried towards the fiery furnace, but it most certainly was there. And the goodness of God wasn't visible when our Lord was beaten and mocked and nailed to an old rugged cross, and the light of the sun was turned out as Jesus died a cruel death, paying a penalty that He did not owe. But we know that the goodness of God was there. And let me add that the goodness of God might not be visible when the company you work for closes its doors. But don't you doubt for a minute that the goodness of God is not there. The goodness of God might not be visible when your child grows deathly ill, but the goodness of God is still there. The goodness of God might not be visible when your mate, who you took as your only beloved, has betrayed your trust, but you can trust that God and His goodness is still there. The goodness of God might not be available or might not be visible when you have bills to pay and mouths to feed and the money seems to run out before the end of the month does, but ladies and gentlemen, the goodness of God is still there. The goodness of God might not be visible. As you care for your husband for 2 or 3 years as he suffers as a stroke victim. But the goodness of God is still there. The goodness of God might not be visible, Brother Randy, as you lay in a coma for 30 days with your wife by your side. But the goodness of God was still there. The goodness of God might not be visible when your husband or your wife leave you and go on home in death. But don't you doubt for a minute that the goodness of God is not still there. David, when running from Saul and hiding in caves and caverns, always on the run, hungry and tired, yearning for peace, yearning for rest, yearning for appreciation and acceptance, desiring protection for himself, but not wishing to harm Saul in any way, couldn't see the goodness of God, but he believed it until he saw it. As David was forced to leave his throne by his own son Absalom, and he left Jerusalem, and he left the tabernacle, and he left his beloved city because of this betrayal, this conspiracy against him, he couldn't see the goodness of God. But he believed it until he did see it. Just because the world seems dark around you and you can't see a way out, don't you doubt for a minute that God is still on His throne. And just because you can't understand the whys and the whats of what you're going through, you trust God that there is a reason and that His way is far greater than our way. And just because you can't see the goodness of God with your own two eyes today, you just keep on believing and you just keep on trusting in the goodness of God because, ladies and gentlemen, it is there. We've looked at the facts. We've looked at David's response. And now the result. He didn't faint. He didn't quit. Recognize that one of the devil's greatest tools against us is discouragement. The great, faithful, weeping prophet at Jeremiah, who was so faithful in his ministry in Jerusalem during times of great suffering as God was removing His hand of protection from Judah and was bringing judgment about. There was a period of time where Jeremiah wanted to quit the ministry. But he didn't. There was a time where Moses at one point was so tired of dealing with these 2 million complaining Jews that he told God, "I just can't take it anymore. I don't want to carry on another step." But he didn't. There was a time when Elijah felt like he'd failed, felt like it was lost. There's none other that are faithful except me. And he was ready for God just to take him on to heaven. There was a time when Peter, after denying the Lord 3 times, quit the ministry and went back to fishing. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's greatest tool that he can use against us is discouragement. If he can get you to lose hope, then he can get you to give up. In verse 13, David says, "I had fainted. I would have quit. I would have fainted. I couldn't have made it unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living." Then he wraps it up with these wise words to himself and also for our benefit. "Take courage, self. Have patience, self. Wait on the Lord, self. Expect God to act, self. Await God's intervention, self. And don't grow faint. Don't give up. Keep on going and keep on going and keep on trusting in the Lord." And that's exactly what David did. David's desire was to be as close to God as he could be. David's desire was to serve God as best he could. And David waited with patient trust on the Lord God, who was his light, who was his strength, who was his salvation. And that belief in God, that trust in God, that trust in the goodness of God, even though he couldn't see it at that particular moment, was the thing that kept him from growing faint and giving up. Every day, when David couldn't seem to see the daylight, when he couldn't see victory, when he couldn't see the good, he still trusted God. He still got up. He still put on his shoes. He still strapped on his sword. He washed his face. He begged God for strength and rescue. And he just kept on going and kept on going and kept on going, serving God as faithfully as he could. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we're commanded to do. When you cannot see the goodness of God, then you keep on believing, because rest assured, it is there. You draw as close to God as you can, forsaking your sin and confessing your sin. You stay in your Bible, pleading for God's wisdom, and go through the Scriptures, reminding yourselves of God's promises and trust in the goodness of God. And then you get out of bed every day, you wash your face, you put on your shoes, you throw your shoulders back, and you keep on trusting God, and you keep on serving God in everything that you do. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. Proverbs 3:5 is still in the Bible. Isaiah 55:8 is still in the Bible. Philippians 4:4 through 7 are still in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is still in the Bible. Even when you can't see the good, know that the goodness of God is still there. David said, I had fainted. I would have given up. I wouldn't have made it unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.